It's Friday, time for the shortlist, New England Public Radio's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman, and in the studio today, Rick Hurst, publisher of the African American Point of View. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Glad you're here. And Kristen Palpini as a reporter now at the Berkshire Eagle. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. I'm glad you're both in the studio on a beautiful, beautiful cold but sunny day. Let's look back at one of the big stories out of Beacon Hill this week. Governor Charlie Baker pitched state lawmakers his newest opioid bill. It calls for many provisions that would overhaul treatment. It would tighten restrictions on prescribing and focus on educating young people on the dangers of opioids. The governor defended his push to permit doctors to commit addicts against their will for up to 72 hours of treatment, especially those who have overdosed multiple times.
Finding an opportunity to create a pathway to treatment for those folks, whether it's a recovery coach in the ER, somebody else who speaks to them while they're in the ER, or a warm handoff to a treatment program, is in the end a safer and a more effective way of helping them get better.
Rick Hurst, let's start with you. This part, this involuntary treatment, it's a way to save lives. It's also being called forced rehabilitation, and groups like the ACLU are making it a civil rights issue. As an attorney and as someone who used to work in discrimination areas in the state of Massachusetts, is it?
Well, it could become a civil rights issue. If Governor Baker was going to administer the program himself, then I'd feel comfortable with it. But otherwise, I don't feel comfortable with it at all. I don't think you should invoke something like forced admissions when you know that that whole process can be abused down the road. You know, when you come two, three, four levels down, you lose control of it.
No judge involved, though. This is through doctors.
I would want a judge to be very much involved if the thing was implemented. And with just doctors, how do we trust all the judgment of all the doctors? Mm-hmm. I just don't see it.
I mean, we already have Section 35, which is already the involuntary commitment. And, you know, that you need a court for. And forcing people into treatment it doesn't work. People need to be ready for it to take effect.
And if you force them in, once the force is pulled away, they're going to go right back to what they were doing.
Kristen, another question for you, though. The governor also teased out some of the budget that he intends to file next week, and he said regarding the opioid bill that he's going to go beyond the initial $2 million trust fund that'll help schools set up substance abuse screening and education programs. These are in the K-12 system. That is the old program DARE, or maybe not. Many people say that DARE didn't work. You may have gone through that yourself, Kristen. What's the difference here?
I don't know about a difference here. I personally have been asking for this curriculum for a while now from the state because I want to see what it is. DARE, I went through it. It was not effective. And they blatantly told us lies during it about drug use, which ended up just not helping anybody. So I would be very cautious about how this money is spent, and I would really want a curriculum that relies on honesty and resources.
Have you anything to say about this, Rick, in terms of what you can imagine being in a city school, in a school in Pittsfield or Springfield or Greenfield?
I recall the DARE program, and it didn't work all that well, certainly not in the inner city schools, and I assume not in the other schools. In fact, at the same time the DARE program was going on, incarceration was expanded within the inner cities. Minorities were being arrested in great numbers, and all of this compassionate behavior on the part of the governor didn't exist in this country.
All right, let's move on to some football. It's a big switch here, but it is the AFC Championship this weekend, and the New England Patriots face the Jacksonville Jaguars. As everybody knows, as most of our audience knows, that is, football became political this year when the president went after NFL players who took a knee during the national anthem to protest police brutality. Rick, you've written about this and defended the players' right to protest. Some fans protested by not going to games or not watching them, but it's been a great season. So is that their loss?
I think it's their loss. You know, protest is never comfortable for somebody at all times. And in fact, the players are doing exactly what Martin Luther King recommended years ago and has become a great hero for. They're being peaceful. They're not burning the flag as had been done during the Vietnam War days when primarily white Americans were protesting. So there's nothing wrong with their approach. The object is to get attention, and they've gotten it.
Kristen, do you think these protests are going to continue? Can you imagine that the message is going to still be as strong as it has been in this past 12 months or the past
I hope
season?
So. I hope it continues because I feel like the message just keeps growing and it's one we need to hear. This is an act of civil disobedience. It doesn't take anything away from the game. And quite honestly, kneeling, that's a submissive pose, you know?
And it does nothing against patriotism.
No.
It has nothing to do with patriotism or lack of it.
Okay, so here's a quieter event, or at least it seems quieter this year than last year. There's many women's marches are returning to the radar. This weekend, there is a march in Pittsfield, in Northampton, in Hartford, and Greenfield, and of course, the largest march taking place this weekend in Las Vegas. It's 1 year after millions marched, many in protest of President Trump's election. That was in D.C. So this year's goal is getting more women elected in office. Kristen, are you seeing any ways that the movement has taken hold in Berkshire County, where you cover, or anywhere? And did last year make a difference?
I feel like it did make a difference. You know, I don't think that the Me Too hashtag would have taken off had it not been for the march and the solidarity that women have been showing. But I think it also highlighted a real schism in feminism between white feminists and people of color, feminists of color. And it's really highlighted that divide, that they're not working for the same goals. And that's been uncomfortable, but it's got to be realized. And I think that's been a good thing that that's come out.
Rick, have you seen the way that from a year ago to now that this march has taken hold or that women's voices are coming out?
I think women have become bolder since the march. And to me, that's more important than anything else, because boldness is what will move the clock forward for them.
All right. Quickly, Boston and Somerville in some ways have made it to the Amazon top 20. This is now a potential location for site for the company's second headquarters. Worcester lost out. Enfield, Connecticut lost out. Hartford. Rick, is this a big economic loss for the region, really?
I don't think it's a big economic loss for the region. I think it's a great gain for the state.
That is the glass half full. I love it. Kristen, real quickly, do you believe Rick Sullivan, the Economic Development Council of Western Massachusetts chief, when he says he's hopeful a Boston bid to Amazon's second headquarters would also bring jobs out here?
Well, it would definitely bring jobs out here, but I don't think we should be paying for them through corporate welfare of tax breaks and incentives. If it were jobs that didn't require master's degrees, I would be all for it.
All right. Kristen Palpini, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Kristen is a reporter at the Berkshire Eagle. Rick Hurst, I'm glad you made it, publisher of the African-American Point of View. Glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
That's the short list for this week, NEPR's Week in Review, and you can listen anytime at NEPR.net/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.